Training Day. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for that. You know, that's the whole point of life right there. If you don't get nothing, you need to get that, because it's you know, it's something that the mindset to understand is that God gave us life. Okay, we did not give it to ourselves. Okay, and therefore He is the shot caller. Amen. Give me a moment here. Technical difficulties. Hallelujah. And it's amazing, if you look at life, people they struggle with that. I've even found people mad that they're here, but I told them right away, you need to talk to your parents about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But they're giving out of the Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God. That's a marvelous statement once you come to understand that. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to my producer. Amen. Pastor O. Also, has risen, Pastor Joe overall. Amen. His lovely wife, Run for Christ Ministries, and all the saints and friends here and there and everywhere, here and now, and maybe sadly after the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. But I just thank God for another day. Amen. And that's, I mean, this is what this is about. We have to learn this way of life, and we have to decide to accept it. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's go before the throne of grace so we can get in order here. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I ask you strengthen us with might in our inner man. Amen. Bless us. Amen. With the knowledge of your will, give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of give me a second here. Having one of them challenging weeks, amen, with the weather here in Michigan has gone all over the place, amen. You know, stepping out of the way in faith and letting people have a white Christmas. You know, we've been praying for, amen, a warmer than normal winter because they want to raise the gas prices up unjustifiably. You know, it was found out that America has a 200-year supply of natural gas. So there's no reason for them to try to say that we are threatened because of what's going on in Russia. That's just grabbing. And what they don't understand is that this is a different era. Just like science has moved forward and technology has gone forward, the body of Christ has gone forward, at least some of us have. And we understand our position in God and our how to address God and how to utilize and access his power and his promises. You know, and I thank God that I'm in this era because, you know, previous generation, God hasn't added anything new. What's transpired is that our generation have asked simple questions, you know, and humbly going before God and asking for information, wanting to know why, wanting to know how, because that's been the mystery of the ages. When you study, when you look at mankind, and I read some of the statements over the history over time, you know, people were, that was because they didn't read the Bible. God has not changed his modus operandi at all. He does business the same way he has always done, but we tend to do things the same way. Okay, case in point. You know, it's sad. I'm starting a new poll now. I'm just asking people to say they're Christian. What is the first and second commandment? And the first one is you shall not have no other God. And the second one is you don't make one. And yet, if you look at our world, it has become idolatry is marketable. You know, I don't want to get too far off of what I'm talking about. So, but bottom line is, you know, we are, it's our nature to want to be on our own. That's part of being that spirit being, that God class being. It's natural because you have some of us have access to more comprehension than others. The reason for that, the reason why we're not all exactly the same is because God wants us to master love. The super intelligent have to learn how to love the less intelligent, and the less intelligent have to learn how to love the super intelligent. And that requires time, because you go back and review the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, around verse 22, and you see, if you look at those are fruit that God expects to manifest in a negative environment. Now, we're over here talking about a covenant, because one of the things that I have found during the years with people, and I listen to them, and they pray, and then they tell me prayer don't, I've had people tell me prayer don't work. But then when I ask them the status of their relationship with God, I find out why it don't work. One of the key criteria for God to be able to answer your prayer is that you must have a covenant with him. Now, what's significant about that is you got to understand, you got to keep all the pieces of the puzzle in play here. Satan, okay, gained control of the planet when Adam sinned. Now, that was going to happen. You could have been Adam, it would have happened. Why? Because you're not omniscient. If Adam had been omniscient, he would have been able to read Satan's mind and know that he was lying to him, know that he was scamming on him. Okay? But he didn't. Okay? He had to say, he had those limitations. Now, and God didn't come up with a plan B. He knew this. But the point here is you have to learn to be grateful for life that God has given you. You know, that's a simple, some people pick up on that real easy. Some of us have had to struggle with that. We want to know why I'm here, why this got to be that way. Listen, God would have answered, but there were conditions to give an answer. He couldn't answer, because see, I just heard recently, was listening to a man of God speak, and he was talking about how, you know, Satan get ready to attack. He start messing with you because he see angelic activity about to bring to pass some things that you have put forth before God. So he can't stop you. He has to get you to stop you. Okay? But now, again, if a person does not accept the reality of how things operate in the kingdom of God, they're going to face challenges. Okay? And this is even more critical now than any time in history. You know, again, I bring up the issue of the Uvalde and all the other mass murder incidents. This is the result of people assuming, you know, good things are going to happen if I act right. You read the Bible, you'll see that is not the case. A classic example of that is Job. And then you got the situation where it says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. You know, it's this pack. Why? Because that goes with the other commandment that Jesus, the first commandment that Jesus gave. You shall, and this is, well, I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm not sure, but learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, and everything. That means something is going to be pushing up against you, and that something is Satan. Because if he didn't push up against you, you would find that easy to do. So, again, we got to go all the way back to why is this happening? 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet, 3:2 part B, it says, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. That's a tremendous amount of power. I mean, you got to look at what's before you. Look at the simple, you know, Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. You are supposed to be trying to comprehend what the kingdom of God is about. That's what we're here for. We're not here to try to collect all this junk that Satan threw out here, people. You know, I was looking at a segment of the right lifestyle of the rich and shameless. And, you know, okay, it's all good. You buy a 200-foot yacht, I guarantee you, 99, and you have a party with 80 people on there, 79 don't even like you. They just there for the party. You know, you ain't impressing nothing. When you die, they're like, oh, well. You know, they go to look for the next party. You become a quick lost memory. All right. So you can get yourself caught up. I mean, now in our age, unlike any time in history, he has thrown so much stuff out of there. You know, recently you had and this is a good segue, young man killed his mother over a video game, you know. Over them things, I think they're called Oculus, you know, I forget what they call them, but virtual reality vision things you put on your face. My daughter gave me one of them. They are fun, but I wouldn't kill for it. See, you got to understand what this is about. Now, last week we talked about the Sabbath day and that there are more than one Sabbath. Well, not a couple of weeks ago. We had Christmas last week. And that there are more than one Sabbath. And the whole point of the Sabbath is to remind you that God is your provider. Stop, take a break, and acknowledge God. And during that process, you could learn a lot about the Sabbath if you do some research in the Bible. God expected you. The Sabbath is not just take a day off. It's take a day off and replace it with God time. That's what is supposed to happen. That's why they would fast. That's God time. Because, you know, when your body is not taxed with the processing of food and all the other things, your spirit is not taxed, you can hear more from God. Okay, there's a process. You are doing things when you think you're not doing things. Your body does nothing. Your spirit does everything. Okay? And there's plenty of evidence of that. I've been to a morgue. I've seen lots of dead bodies, and they wasn't doing nothing. You know, you put a sandwich up to their nose, and they don't sniff or nothing. They don't bite it or nothing. You do all that. When you eat food, you do a complete chemical analysis, and your body is designed, and your spirit know how to process that, all right? And this is why God demands that we pay attention to him. Pay attention to him, because, see, he's got the goods. And there's the process. So my bottom line is, this is not done in a vacuum. God is not just doing some stuff, you know, like he's just making it up as he's going on. I've actually heard people say some stuff like that, you know, and that's because all they got is their little theological training from another man. And so all the time, you're supposed to stop and ask God about it. I told you I released the book, and from every book I write from here on in, all of them, the chapter will begin with a prayer. You know, and I've instructed in the introduction that you pray it verbally. Why? Because Satan cannot, the demon that's assigned to you, just like you have an angel assigned to you, you have a demon assigned to you, he knows the legality of it. If he don't hear you say nothing and he see an angel coming with something that you ordered, then he's going to question them, and he's going to like, I ain't hear nothing. And there'll be a war that you don't know anything about going on, and you're trying to figure out why hasn't this happened. See? But again, none of this happened. You know, like I said, when you first starting out, like with babies, you know, you let babies get away with a lot. You do not let grown folk get away with. And that's the same way in the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible even used the term babes in Christ. But when you've been a Christian 35 years and you still at the same level that you started at 35 years ago, God will let you go through hell. He'll let you go through till you choose not to. He's not going to make you. But see, again, this is not about being good just so you can go to heaven. That's why you hear people use phrases like, we all sin. Well, okay, duh, you're not God. But do you practice sin? If you practice sin, you're going to hell. I don't care how. I don't care if you run the church. You're going to hell if you practice sin. So that ain't, that's no excuse. What are you going to tell God? He gave you the Holy Ghost and it wasn't powerful enough for you to act right? Too many people act right, including myself, man, for you to pull that up. Don't try that. Don't try that. You'll buzz hell wide open. And from what the words say, hell for a believer is hotter than normal hell. All right. So we covered the Sabbath day. And it really is just the Bible, you know, I'm not going to do a DNA test just to find out if I'm Jewish or Gentile. And no, not Jews just meant you believed in God as a cultural identification. If people act like it, you know, make you taller, brighter, lighter. It don't do nothing. And quiet is kept. If you don't have a covenant with Christ, your prayers are fruitless. I don't care how much Jew you got. But see, they don't do intercession. They don't do the prayer that the Bible requires. Anyway, let me get on with this. All right, so we covered that. So today, we're going into a vital segment that you've seen a diminish of. One of the part of the Run of Christ Ministries is they do a teaching called Bring Back the Family. And the Bring Back the Family, you know, it took me a while, and really it's amazing how it snapped me too when I realized that I have been given authority or the responsibility to prepare members for the kingdom of God. That's what family is about. That's what marriage is about. I just seen a video. I didn't see it all because I had to prepare for this. Prepare for this by Jonathan Cantu, the president presently who signed the Defense for Marriage Act. The same president that a few years ago said himself that marriage was between a man and a woman. He wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a man and a woman. That thing's got its own math that cannot be altered. Now you got all these trans G's saying that they were pressured into becoming a transgender. Now they want to reverse the process. That's because of the prayers of the righteous, that those that haven't let up is bringing that to pass. Because God love them. They just didn't know what to do. See, Satan pressure you. He always got something cooking up. So we're moving on to the next commandment here. And the reason for the commandments is that they identify God's culture. They say whether or not you believe in God. Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, now, again, that word love me is agape, agapeo. Agapeo is agape in action. Okay, A-A-G-A-P-A-O, okay, it still says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what God is saying. Now, he's talking about honor your mother and father. That's in Exodus 20:12, all right? Now, matter of fact, I want to read that because I like what it says, you know, It says, honor your mother, your father, and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth which the Lord your God giveth you. Now that's powerful. People don't run through it. Stop. As our pastor tell us, stop and ask questions. Examine that. You know? And the late Dr. Scott would say, pay attention to detail. Okay? The order of life is right above you is your parents. Above them is God. That's the order. Okay? God is always at the top. Even if your parents are wrong. You know, I saw somebody that posted something about the Holocaust at Auschwitz and the God owed them an apology. Well, hold your breath. Just don't hold it too long because you will fall over dead before God. What God going to apologize? The saints of the Most High God should have been praying harder for them, but they should have brought themselves to Christ where they could pray. So, you know, God don't owe nobody nothing. If God paid us what he owes us, that means we all go to hell. That's the only thing he owes us. And, I mean, he paid the price. He don't owe you nothing. You better be grateful. But he's telling you right here, he gave you life. He gave you life, okay? And like I say, and this is just the beginning. We're talking about trillions of years to come. And you get to choose where you gonna spend it. Life or hell. That should be an easy decision, but I find people struggling with that decision. I ain't struggling with it at all. You know, I'm telling you, man, them folk down the hill ain't washed their butt in 6,000 years, and you're going to have to smell that. And it's hot. You know it, hot and funk. Together is worse. And, but it says, honor your mother and father. Now, I want to go to another version of this in Ephesians chapter 6, okay, because what the New Testament, which made life a little simpler, and the Old Testament, the New Testament is a, what you would say, an expose, a commentary on the Old. But it's the same thing. That's, you know, when I hear people say the Bible changed, I've been 45 years, ain't nobody showed me nothing. Nah, there was, you know, a little word here and there, it's not a change. When you try to change the text, when you try to change God's meaning, that's a change. Now, I have seen a Bible that did try to change that. They really try to change it where Jesus is concerned, where it speaks of his deity. But see, they don't get what God is. They never ask God about it. And so, but, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it starts out, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then it goes on. Well, I might as well read this. And it says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, that's where the church failed at, you know. Coming up soon this year, next year, 2023, Word of Faith, where I go, we'll be doing another family session, okay? Because two things, look at how far man has gotten from that. The Bible, if any place supposed to be teaching everything about life, everything, sex and marriage and money, it's supposed to be the church. Pastor O does the same thing. Because, you know, and that's their job is to prepare people for the kingdom of God. And if you don't teach on marriage and sex and finance and how to live this life, that's a failed effort. And I see so much failure, so much confusion, you know. And then the deeper part about it is people are addicted to the failed aspect. They don't want to do the right because, yeah, it takes some work. We only had to work in this life. Job and them, Abraham them, they worked for 120 years. Man, they had the last 2,500 years in pleasure. You know, they don't know tired, hungry, sick, pain, none of that. That's all memories to them, and they don't even focus on that. So we just have to get through this part of life, all right? But this is the other thing, is to remember your parents are not above God. Now, this is, okay, there are cultures, a variety of them, that they hang on to what they believe. And even in Christianity, there are Christians that believe false doctrines, you know, erroneous doctrines, simply because it's a family tradition, a family culture. You know, Jesus ran into that. With the Pharisees, you know, they have this book that they have the oral traditions. You know, listen, a commentary is good as long as it does not stray from the Word of God. Okay, basically what I'm doing right now is commentary, okay, on the Word of God. And like I say, if I be off, some people will let me know, or if I wasn't clear, they'll question, and that's a good thing, because you're talking about people's lives. You're talking about having to help people. They got to stand before God. I have to stand before God and give account. I believe in Matthew 12:35, give account for every word, you know, give account for it. I'm just glad that if I was wrong, Jesus paid for it. But I got to answer for it. I got to hear about it. But this is not really complicated. Once I read the Bible, I made that decision right away. Then nobody had to tell me nothing, because I saw right away when I read the entire Bible that I could not depend on men, okay? And there were people that had knowledge, and I watched the fight still going on over this, that people would struggle to hold on to an erroneous doctrine even though they have no biblical evidence to support it. That is, I don't even get that mindset. I do. It's called pride, which goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, the psychology of man is throughout the Bible, so amen. But it says to honor your mother and father. Now, that comes with when you leave the house, you go out somewhere, and then that does not stop at adulthood. You know, it does not stop at adulthood, because you 21, it don't mean you can dishonor your parents. You know, I'm telling you, God is much more merciful. There was, let me see if I don't want to get too far off here. Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 24. I believe that's what I want. Because the situation here, okay, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10, all right? You know what? I want to read this in my Amplified. Give me a minute here. Bottom line, this is an example of God, how serious this is. I want, you know, we don't do this no more, but, well, we do it in a lighter way. I'll put it like that. You know, we get our butt beat. These are things, I do remember that. Anyway, it says, not a son, verse 10, it says, not a son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the Israelites, and a man of Israel quarreled and struggled with each other in the camp. An Israelite woman blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. Okay, this is where they get that, they connect that taking the Lord's name in vain, and when you say profanity, which in my household that I grew up with was capital punishment. You know, I remember this neighbor back way back in the day, they used to have party lines. You didn't have to pay for it. That's how phones were before you got, you was big time if you had a private line, right? So I was down on the playground, which is only about a block away from my home, and I said something. Anyway, and when my mother, if a grown person said you said something, you forget trying to defend it. You knew, I knew, she wasn't lying. I wasn't going to say she lying on me, because that was going to make it worse. Because, you know, they ain't going to just pick up the phone, because they trying to make you live right. That's called growing up in a neighborhood. Anyway, when I got home, this time when I saw my mother's face, I knew something was up. Then the trial went down. She was the judge, jury, and my daddy was the executioner. And I'm like, boy, but that, I tell you what, I wash my mouth to this day around grown folk, and I'm 71. But anyway, he said, the Israelite woman blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and so they brought him to Moses. Okay? Now, his mother's name was Shilamith. So they got it documented in history. The daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. They claim that's the black tribe, but there's actually more than one. But anyway, they put him in custody until the will and the command of the Lord might be made clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, said, bring the one who has cursed the Lord outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head as witnesses to his guilt. Okay? Then let all the congregation stone him. And you shall speak to the Israelites, says, whoever curses his God will bear his sin through his own death. further, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall most certainly be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The stranger as well as the native born shall be put to death when they blaspheme the name of the Lord. You know, I've been around people that was mentally ill that did that, you know. But I'm going to tell you a test for mentally ill people that's possessed by a demon. Simple test. Try to get them to say the name of Jesus. That's like pouring lit gasoline in their mouth. They won't say it. That demon won't hear it because it'll blow them up. But the point here is he's emphasizing respect, okay? Self-righteousness. You know, you don't get to, you're not your own person. You didn't bring yourself here. You don't even know how long you're going to be here. Okay, we're seeing more of that today, and I don't blame it on the simple fact of that there are more single mothers, because I know some friends of mine that I grew up with, and their mother worked in the afternoon, and when you went by their house, you did not get in their house. Their house was not a party house when their mom was gone. Okay, and that's pretty much the case in every situation. Bottom line was, I grew up, it was uncommon to have an ungodly household. And even the ungodly, the one family that I knew that did not really believe in a God, ran a godly household. They had a little more leeway than most people. Like, for instance, they could call their mother by their first name, their father by their first name. This was an atheist family. I went in the house and tried that. That didn't go well at all. Amen. All right? Because, again, God wanted, there has to be a continuity of the respective order at all times. Because at the end of the day, I have to repeat this, you can't break, whenever you decide to break a commandment, the first thing you decide to do is put God to the side. And God wants us to be mindful of him continually. So we monitor our mouths. That's one of the most powerful tools you got on your body, your mouth. That's where everything hinges from. A lot of people's problems today is because of their mouth. A lot of people's problem today is because of when they're not at home, their lifestyle disrespects their parents. And they think because their parents don't see them that they're all right. And then their life is just a continual mess. You know, you don't get away. You don't get back. Why? Because angelic protection goes on hold, okay? Even if you're an adult. If you're an adult and you don't have Christ in your life, it's on hold anyway. You just got one guardian angel, and all Satan had to do is send 20, and you're done, folks. You know, you're going to see, sadly, a lot of young people dying. Because they think that I've seen they taking this thing to another whole level, but that's all demonic activity. But a lot of it has, granted, a lot of it has to do with being an ungodly household, but that don't exempt you. It did not say honor your mother and father if they say. It didn't say, it doesn't matter, they grown. And if you don't like the way they run a thing, get up out of that house and protect yourself. You know, got some sniffles going here. All right? But bottom line here is you want to protect your covenant with God. You want to protect your rights to blessing with God. You want to protect your healing, your prosperity with God. So honor your mother and father. I remember an incident where one of my older brothers at the time, I think I was 40, he was 66, right? And so my mother asked me, had I seen him? And I'm like, no. And so she hadn't seen him. And she told me to go look for him. And I'm like, he ain't no little. I fought myself to say anything. I wanted to say, you know, like, Mom, he's 66. He don't live here. You know. But the words say, honor your mother and father. Did not matter. She said, go find your brother. I went and found him. I made fun of him, too, you know. But that's the whole thing. Why? Because I wanted to protect, not only honor my mother and father, but that protects me. That protects me. And that's what this is about. You want to protect every aspect of the... See, we hold the key to the blessing. God has issued it. God has settled it. But we oftentimes do things, say things that give Satan the opportunity to stop us from being blessed. And this is one of them. You know, it's something, man. I tell you, man, I disown a person if I see them arguing with their mother or their father. It doesn't matter. They bipolar. Okay, that comes from a challenge that they have. You don't know what went on in their lives. But you don't, get away from them. I realize there's some challenged parents, okay? But get away from them, okay? You can do that. That takes a lot of patience. That takes some fruit of root. You got to eat a whole lot of the fruit of that spirit, all right? But honor your mother and father. But like I say, up until the point that if your mother and father in the criminal activity and I've seen that situation, then you go with God. You get away from that. You go with God. Now, this is hard to do when you're a minor, okay? You're stuck in that situation, but you're not stuck with the inability to pray, okay? God hears the prayers. If you're a minor, you can pray, amen? And you can have authority over that demon. Listen, when you're dealing with demonic activity in your household, you do not have to speak loudly about it. You have to verbalize it, okay? Because they can hear it. And the Holy Spirit is in you. If you receive Christ as a minor, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you can just whisper prayer. You can take control of demons. I've done it many a time when I was working, you know, and watch God quiet the situation down. Okay, you don't have to be all loud and casting out demons in the name of Jesus, you know. There's a time and a place for that. But then in certain situations, you can just whisper. That's enough. That is enough, okay? You know? But, anyway, but like I said, this is very critical. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians because, again, it's a two-part thing that we are supposed to raise our children in the nurture and admonition. And again, like I said, that don't end at adulthood. Okay, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Accept their guidance and discipline as his representatives. For this is right, for obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother, and be respectful for them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live a long time. Now, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial and unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, which means you got to know the word as a parent. You know, shudder to think I have been married more than once, but that's, you know, God, when I tried to bring that issue up to God about what I didn't know, he told me, okay, it ain't like the Bible didn't exist. He said it was my fault for not seeking him. And I have to abide by that because he said that. There wasn't nobody around but me and him talking. And I get that. So I'm telling you, young folk, you got to pick up the word. What your parents did or didn't teach you for a lot of reasons, whatever reason you come up with, you got to access the word. You got to, when you come to Christ, you have access to God. You have the same access that Adam had. Well, not quite as deep as that, but you do have access. You do have access. You can ask God questions. You know, as I've said before, when I asked God about why he let the devil exist, I made sure I was on my knees on my 4-inch pad because I didn't want him to think I was questioning his judgment, you know. And I wasn't, because I've seen people, I've talked with people that really think they didn't understand why and why God did that. But again, God, he showed me, then like Numbers 23:19, that God cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie, so he don't lie. So how are you going to teach you? He could say, don't lie. Okay, you saw how well that worked with Adam. He said, don't eat of that fruit or you're going to die. Adam had never died. He never seen anybody die. He was fresh. He didn't know. Okay, but now he understood. He didn't really get a revelation till Cain killed Abel. Okay, so it's a process of life. So Satan volunteered himself to be the evildoer, you know. God could have very well done it with role play over time and explained it. He wasn't in no hurry. Death wasn't on the hunt then, but they changed the process. And we do that sometimes. God tells us don't do something, we do it. Then we dragging the process out. All right. So he volunteered for that. Now, again, without knowledge of the word, we don't know what authority we have. In the reversal process, you know, which means that when we come to Christ, we now have authority over Satan. So I can't say the devil made me do it. He doesn't have that power anymore. If I do something goofy, it's something I chose to do. And that's how it will be presented to me. But bottom line is here is that the church is supposed to prepare how they is supposed to prepare. The men, and it's sad when you go to any church, the majority of people there are women. But again, this is a prayer process too, because if they're not there, it's not enough prayer. Pretty good. If they are not there, it's just not enough prayer. But it's getting better because pastors are getting better. Again, the Bible is the only book on the planet that has the rules for marriage. And all the other, everything else is a copy. And you can't go in any government office. This is why, you know, the government, the people holler separation of church and state. But then the United States does not have a rule book for marriage. But then they're going to make a law and declare who is and who ain't married. That make about much sense, you know. They don't make no sense. That's why I'm going to leave it at that. And then people going along with it. Listen. If you don't know what time it is, we're in judgment. You think COVID was just a bypass? That was an introduction. You think these volcanoes blowing up is just something temporary? More of them are blowing up. They're recording earthquakes in the hundreds. You know, tornadoes doing things that they've never done before. And it's going to increase. The violence, as people withdraw from God, Satan go push the button. We're the restraining force. Okay, this is why I know what the Bible. This is why I believe what the Bible talking about. Until he in 2 Thessalonians, until he which letter is taken out of the way, which is the church, we're the restraining force. All right. So to get this done, we got to be prayerful. We got to be administering to God. Okay. That means you're supposed to have personal worship time. You know, one of the greatest men of God that walked the planet, Smith Wigglesworth, is amazing the things that he did in his ministry. And he said he praised God just 10 minutes every day, 10 minutes. Not hours, not days on the end, unless God ordered it. But it was 10 minutes, and I knew that, you know. And how do I not? You know, God hasn't used me to bring back dead, but he's done some things. Amen. But again, all this comes back to us understanding that we do influence the power in the world with the authority that God has given us. And in order to do that, he wants us to self-manage. And self-management is love your neighbor. Okay? We have challenges, just like I don't know. I guess I have to deal with this transgender stuff. You know, I mean, really, you're giving up power. You have no authority with God. That's the main thing. Satan is, but again, as I said earlier, the prayers are breaking through because people are changing their minds. Because, see, they can't break that demonic force off of them. It takes the prayers of the righteous to do that. It just needs to be more of us doing it. And we get some stuff done. But bottom line is, honoring your mother and father is a part of the covenant, and it says it's the first commandment with promise. That your days, and notice that. The first commandment don't say that your day, well, it does, that your days may be long. Because, why? Because Satan knows the law. See, and that's the thing you have to be conscious of. That's another thing you have to be conscious of. Satan knows the law. He knows if he can separate you from the protection of God, he got you. One way or another. This is how people lose their mind. They talk about the mental health crisis. Well, how can you have a mental health crisis? The mental part is just saying that your spiritual part has got a crisis. And that's because it's disconnected from God. They can't fix that. All medication does is in the flesh. It can't alter your thinking. They like to think that and believe that, but I had the fortunate opportunity to talk with a Bible-believing, reading, teaching psychiatrist. Now, the Bible says you are a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion. Your spirit controls that. So if your spirit, though, if you're not in Christ, Satan can do some stuff. We see that through the Bible, all the lunatics in Mark chapter 5 and the different types of individuals that have mental problems that they would call mental problems now were what? Demon problems. Demon manipulated. Them dudes didn't get old. They didn't go nowhere. They didn't leave the planet. They are still around. Even Legion shows up every now and then. All right? So what they're trying to fix is something spiritual with some medication. That's because man thinks he has the answers. And again, they it's not bad for them to pursue that, but they can only minister to the flesh. It cannot change the way a person thinks. You know, I've been there. I've sat in on observations and saw. It don't make a difference, because if you choose to think a certain way, nobody can change that, including God. All right. So bottom line is, okay, the parents play a role. And the reason they play a role is that it's challenging, because Jesus said that your household, day of your, a man's enemy shall be the day of his own household. Okay. So, and that a prophet is without honor except in his own country. So the people that you know are least likely to believe you. But if it's handled properly, I like how the writer here expressed in the aspect of not being trivial or nitpicky, you know, in dealing with your kids and explaining things. You know, I did not have to whoop my children for a long time up into their teens, and that's a waste. When they got past 6 or 7 years old, you really need to be talking and communicating with them why they need to manage their behavior. And it shows. You know, I have some well-behaved children. You know, I thank God for them. I really am grateful to God, because they are doing fine. The men are doing fine. The women are doing fine. And bottom line is you have to feed them revelation. And the main thing is you have to guide them to God, because at the end of the day, when they leave your household, it's going to be between them and God. You know, you can only pray for them. You can pray with them, but you can't override. You don't have that overriding authority once they reach a certain age. Then God says, between me and them now. And it's something. And you tell it, one of the best tales that you succeeded is how they pray. You know, I like hearing my children pray, because you can hear the prayer of a person that knows that God is their God. See, they don't have to write down the prayer. And I think one of the craziest things I heard was the Pope had to write down a prayer. I mean, really? That's something. Anyway, all right. So I think I've touched on all that. Again, like I say, Jesus said that the dividing line is he's God. He's Lord, okay? I mean, he's running things. And he and the Father are on one accord. He and the Father and the Holy Ghost are on one accord, and that's that. Now, we're going to begin. Oh, okay, we might as well start this. We're going to pick this up next week. with one of, I think, one of the most challenging of the commandments, the first 10, and that is, you shall not commit murder, okay? In the original Hebrew, let me see, do I have this down here? I know I got it down here. Yeah. The word is ratsak, okay? With the word kill in is ratsak, and it is to murder, to slay, premeditated particularly it deals with. Then it deals with the accidental. Now, all death, all killing is not murder, all right? We're going to get into this more in detail. Before I retired from 31 years with the Wayne County Sheriff Department, before I took that job, first thing I asked God about was the fact that they carried deadly weapons, and was that right or wrong? And then God, I mean, that's one of them, I call these epiphany moments, when he just say clearly his point of view. I mean, he called out scripture. And I mean, I went and opened it up. And matter of fact, we want to right now, I want to go to that right quick in these last minutes. And we'll pick back up on this. And we're going to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's see if they didn't tear it up. Okay. And again, like I say, when you're in law enforcement, and that, to me, the logic is this. Satan is alive and well on earth. If we don't oppose him and his army, he both use men and women. Satan used men and women. God used men and women. And if God just let him just kill all his people, the only word, the only life on the earth will be that which is guided by Satan. So there has to be, at some point, some opposition. That, to me, is basic logic. Okay? Genesis, now this is after the flood, and God is talking to Noah. And he says, whoever sheds man's blood unlawfully, by man, the judicial government, shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. All right, that right there was God appointing Noah judge, jury, and executioner. Right there. Right, that's the first one. We're going to read some more of that. And that was because why? He was building a whole new community. There was only Noah, his three sons, and their four wives, and they're going to have to start. So they have to have some order, because it's in our nature to be self-ruled. It's just natural for us. Because between this time and the time you get to Abraham, which is roughly about 1,000 years, then it got crazy again. See? So God has to have an intercessor. Now, when we execute somebody, they have lost their right to live on earth. That does not automatically mean the person goes to hell. Because who decides that? We don't vote on that. God decides that. They may have, we had a situation where a guy ate something that caused a chemical imbalance. This was established and proven, and caused him to have erratic behavior. That can happen. I mean, it's we're dealing with demonic activity that we don't know about, and they didn't know about all that. But anyway, in some situations, there's a lot of variation. We're going to look at all the various types of situations, because they're covered in the Bible. You know, again, bottom line is, when we execute somebody, they have up until the point we throw the switch to repent, and then we send them to God, who does the final judgment. What man has done in failing to carry this out, remember, he called it man the judicial hand of God. When he failed to do that, he has taken authority from God and decided what he going to do. And that don't work out well. That don't work out well. It doesn't guarantee that people going to behave, but it eliminates repeat offenders. Anyway, all right. So we just got through that, amen, hallelujah. So now you know that you got to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and children, honor your mother and father all the days of their life. Amen. And don't try to make excuses for being mean to them. Got issues? Well, like I said, get away from them. You know, you don't have to be abused. All right. Okay, well, anyway, maybe this is the first time you heard this. Amen. The first time you had a chance to receive Christ, and maybe your last chance. Don't gamble on that. At the very best, take Christ, because we know there's so many things happening. People are dying so much, so quickly, so fastly, and this only takes a minute. Just say this prayer with me. Say, Father God, Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe you sent your son to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe with my heart that I am saved, I am born again, and I am free. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying your holidays. Amen. And just know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Bean and cornbread.
Yeah. Alright, let's change it up real quick.
Hey, my boss, he told me gon' and ride out, but they gon' hate you like they hated me. And don't you let no whoop in my house. I'm coming back one day, just wait on me. Be the ones keeping them alive till we meet up in the sky, and that's all he wrote. Preaching the kingdom of God, feeding the flock, keeping it God, all we know. We finna go hard till they call us home. Reaching the people of God, teaching them how he came for the fallen folk. Christ on the main line, I call him. When it all seem hopeless, battle in the mind, I don't wanna die this time. But I can't lose focus, he said it and I believe it. And I walk like I know it, we say that all the time. It's time to show it, come on. Talk, it gotta be about it. Jesus, my lifestyle. Child of the King, you choose, don't leave without it. Jesus, my lifestyle. It's the kingdom, what you need, he got it. Jesus, my lifestyle. Put your faith in Jesus, be Messiah. Jesus, my lifestyle.
Jesus, my lifestyle. Child of the King, it's yours. Don't